Let's take our Bibles together to the Gospel of John as we continue to go verse by verse through this book of the Bible together. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is so much about the shepherd and the sheep. Of course, this time of year with Christmas, with the Christmas story, it's filled with shepherds. And there's an idyllic pastoral scene that's peaceful that goes along with all that's with shepherds and sheep. And even so it is with the coming of our Lord that came into this world and his ministry as well and his desire to work in our lives as that wonderful shepherd, that good shepherd. And John chapter 10, he's described himself as the good shepherd and that he's the door. And this morning we want to pick up where we left off, but let's start in verse 14. We'll read down to verse 29 together. John chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This morning I want to see those little words there in verse 16. He says, one fold and one shepherd. You see that? That's the message. That's going to be the message, the intent of it through these verses that we've read this morning. One fold and one shepherd. Let's talk about the shepherd first. He ought to be first upon our mind instead of the fold. He says there's one shepherd, and that's true. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd. You know, you'll never find another one. You'll never find another shepherd for your life or help for your life than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that good shepherd, and I know that because the Bible says in verse 15, that he laid down his life for the sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. What a caring shepherd. That's the first thing I want to say about this one shepherd. He cares for you. He has been the subject of a countless number of hymns, not only 500 so in this book, but we could bring countless other books up. You know, they don't write about people that haven't made a significance in their life. You'll not find 500, 1,000 hymns about Buddha or Muhammad. You won't find it about any president of the United States or any popular figure. But you have all these songs about the shepherd. You know why? Because he's meant so much to so many people. And he showed how much he cared, and he's changed their lives. And he's the only one that can do that. He says the one shepherd. He's the shepherd that cares. You can find all types of things in your life that you want to find. You'll never find anybody care for you like Jesus. I try to tell that to people not only this time of year, but all the time of the year, that no one ever cared for you like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever will love you like that. because no one ever else would lay down their life. You know, this world is enamored with love stories, aren't they? I mean, you know, that's, you know, something to make you cry, something, you know, the fairy tale, and, you know, watch Hallmark for 25 hours a day and all these wonderful tales of love, and that just captivates the heart, and everybody wants to have a wonderful love story. But you know, in life, I hate to tell you, but in life, with the best of stories, it's filled with heartache and disappointment, and many times strife and contention in the best of relationships. But you know what I can promise you? The one shepherd that cares for you is the greatest love story that was ever told. He laid down his life for you. It's not just a story of someone that was, you know, loved this one and gave in, you know, it was just kind and nice and all these little things. No, no. Jesus died. He laid down his life. He willingly, voluntarily took a cross that you should have had and I should have had, and took the wrath of God that you and I should have bore, and took the hell and the punishment and the judgment. He took that all upon himself because he loved you. That was the shepherd that cared more for you than anyone else could ever care. And the lie of the devil is to get you to think that, well, maybe someone else cares more. Or why, if he really cares, why do things work out like this? But I want to remind you that he laid down his life for you. And if he laid down his life for you, that was the most he could do. That was the highest act of love and concern and care he could show for all of our lives. And that he died for our sins. Without him, without this shepherd that cares, life is meaningless. Without this shepherd that really cares, life is miserable. He gave his life for you. He said it again in verse 17, would you look at it? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. He said it again in verse 18. I lay it down of myself. I had power to lay it down. This shepherd is the shepherd that cares, and he proved it to you when he laid his life down to you, for you. And also he's the shepherd that's loved. The Bible says, you see verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. He's loved of the Father. You know, God the Father looked at God the Son, and God the Son was willing to come and leave heaven and come down to this pitiful place of inhabiting, and he was born in a manger, and he lived a poor life, and he went through all that we lived, and he was God in the flesh. He didn't have to do that. And he did that willingly to save who God had created from our sins, because God can't overlook any of our sins. There must be a payment. The wages of sin is death. That's, you know, God is an honest God. He's a just God. He can't overlook that. And because we're sinners, we deserve a wage. We've earned something. And that earned thing that we've earned is not forever with God. No, that earnings that we have because of our sin is separation from God. Hell forever. And God didn't want that for his creation. And God the Son said, I'll go. I'll pay the wages. I'll lay down my life and I'll pay all the wages of their sin. I'll take all their sin in my own body. And the Bible said the Father, that God loved him because he was willing to lay down his life. But I wonder this morning, the Father loved the shepherd. Do you love the shepherd? Do you love the shepherd? There's only one shepherd that really deserves love. You know, we're not very lovable people. Even with all the best that we have, there's too many warts. There's too many. Really, I mean, if you look at your own heart, you know there are things about you that you know that the people that love you don't even know. I mean, things that we don't want to even open up with and share about from our hearts and our minds. And yet God Almighty loved us enough to send His Son for us. And that Son of God, that Lord Jesus Christ, He's worthy of love. There's no warts in Him. There are no shortcomings. There are no failures. There's no disappointments. His character is spotless. If anyone ever deserved to be loved, it wasn't you. It wasn't me. It's not my children. It's not your children. It's not this world. If anyone ever deserved to be loved, it was Jesus Christ. But too many times it was the Father that loved them for laying down his life. But mankind, I still don't think. When we went go through the parade the other day, we had the bullhorn out. We were passing tracks. And by the way, tonight, if you'll remind me, I'll read you a wonderful email that came into the church. It'd touch your heart, really would touch your heart, about the witness we were able to give out of Jesus Christ being eternal life. But one thing I tried to tell the people at the Christmas parade, this is great. We want you to have a wonderful Christmas. But do you love Jesus? Do you love the one whose namesake is on the holiday? Are you in love with Jesus Christ? And the truth is, if anyone deserved to be loved, it's not this one or that one or this one you can find in your life. It's Jesus Christ. And if you can't love Him, who deserves love? No one does. Jesus said, my Father loves me. You know why? Because I lay down my life. I gave my life. And that's the third thing I want to tell you about this shepherd. The shepherd has power. You know, we look at a shepherd, we don't see him as a powerful individual. Over there in Romania, as we lived and were missionaries, and we saw those shepherds out there. I mean, they stayed out there in the bitter cold. I mean, more than you could dream here in Alabama, but they had all those clothes on. They stayed there. We don't look at the shepherd as a powerful guy or a bodybuilder or someone that's just strong. We don't really esteem them to be the brightest, most intelligent, you know, job position. Shepherd, you know. But yet there was one that Old Testament sort of gave you a hint about the power of a shepherd. Little David, nobody would be impressed with him. They didn't call David out to join the army, but he was the one that defeated the giant. They weren't very impressed with David as he kept the sheep. Oh, go keep those few sheep you have out there. You're just so disdained. You're not very smart and you're not very strong. Just stay out there and strum on your harp. You know, we'll go do the man's work. We'll go do the fighting and the warring. You keep those little sheep out there. That's enough for you. And yet David, that shepherd, what did he do? What did he do with that bear? David, as being a shepherd, what did he do with a lion? Barehanded. I tell you what, you gotta have some pipes, brother, to be able to take a lion and a bear on with your hands. That's a man, and he was a young man, and yet he had power. He was a shepherd. You know what that's a picture of? Jesus Christ as the Son of David, the shepherd that came into the world to lay down his life for your soul. He's got power. And he can take care of the lion in your life. And he can take care of the bear in your life. And he can take care of the giant in our life. He can take care of those sin problems and habits and addictions and the devil that's in our lives. He can defeat them with his bare hands. He doesn't need anybody's help. Look at the power of the shepherd in our text. The Bible said in John chapter 10, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. Look at it. That I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. What a statement. Well, certainly, Jesus, the Romans are going to take away your life. They're going to nail you to a tree. They're going to pierce your side. They're going to let the blood out of your body. The Romans took your life. No, they didn't. I tell you what, this might sound a little odd to you, but the Lord Jesus Christ could have hung on that cross for eternity. You know how I know that? When it came time for him to die, it wasn't, amen, that his body gave out. It wasn't that he just was exhausted. He bowed his head, or he lifted up his head to God, and he said, it's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Romans didn't take it from him. The Jews didn't take it from him. The nails didn't take it from him. His life was in his hand, and the power of the shepherd over death and over life, and he gave his life up. What power. Try that. Walk outside and say, all right, it's time for me to die. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You don't have the power of death and the power of life. You can't just speak it and it happens. Oh, death is powerful, isn't it? As healthy as we try to be. As many doctors as we have. As intelligent as man has shaped his own mind and the transplants and the surgeries and the vitamins, amen, the exercise and all the diets that we can have. You know what man doesn't have power over? He doesn't have power over death. He can't cure that problem. But I know one that has the power over it. The shepherd. The shepherd says, I lay my life down that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Watch it, watch it. 18, I have power. You see that? I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Would you think about the power of the shepherd? If he has power over death, and he proved that. He not only dismissed his spirit and died, but what happened? He took his life up again. Up from the grave he arose. He came walking down to him. He appeared to 500 people at one time. He's the only one that had the power over life and death. And I tell you, if he has the power over death, he's got the power for whatever you need in your life. You need him. You need this shepherd. Because we're powerless. You know, the longer I live, the more I find out I'm not able to do. Boy, there's a day I thought I could do anything. If you put enough brawn in it, amen. If you put enough activity in it, you put enough zeal in it, you can just do it. Get it done. The older you get, you find out, you know, I'm not as strong as I thought. I'm not as in control of things as I thought I. But I tell you what, who's got the power? The Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you've got some sin in your life that you can't overcome. Maybe you need the powerful shepherd to step into your life and demonstrate that power. His power not only over death, there's another power I see here. He said, I lay down my life, the power of a selfless life. You know how weak humanity is, and one of the reasons humanity is so weak because they're so selfish. You know what makes us weak? What makes us weak is we're just centered upon ourselves, and our life revolves around us. You know what a powerful life is? A powerful life is a life revolving around the will of God and the things of God and others. You know, the people that have made the most difference in human history are people that were willing to do things for someone else's benefit. Not living for them. I tell you what, you know, if you want to live a life that'll soon be forgotten, just live it for yourself. It'll make no difference at all. In the power of a selfless life. He didn't come here to live for himself. He didn't come here to get. He came here to give. Most people have no more power over their own spirits to live for the Lord or live for someone else's benefit. They have no power. Their life is totally controlled by their own agenda, by their own best or self-interests. And this, the power of this one, I tell you, it takes a lot of power to live for someone else besides yourself. It takes a lot of selflessness, a lot of self-sacrifice. And that's a powerful life. You know why people can't break addictions? It's because their life is centered around what they want. And that controls them, and they have no power to say no to themselves. They have no power to say no to the world. Because they've not denied themselves. I tell you, power is found in self-denial. Power is found in a selfless life. And there was never a selfless life like the life of the shepherd. The good shepherd that came here for one purpose, and that was for you. I not only see this shepherd that cares, and this shepherd that's loved, and this shepherd that has power, but you'd think everybody would like him. But look at the shepherd who's defamed. This is awful. Look at verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Same cry as the cry of the world today. Why would you listen to the Bible? Why would you listen to a preacher? Why would you get so involved in religion? I mean, there's nothing to that stuff. Why hear ye him? Why are you listening to him? He's crazy. He's mad. Isn't that something? These same people that would rush upon Stephen and gnash on him with their teeth. Isn't it funny, people? I tell you what, a lot of people that are insane are the one calling the sane one crazy. Jesus is mad. He's crazy. What? He's crazy because he wants to help you? He's crazy because he wants to change your life? From a life of self-destruction and a life that the devil's in charge of. He's mad. He's mad. He's crazy because he tells you the truth. You know what? I guarantee you, this world would look at a sold-out Christian. Now, they won't look at a carnal Christian this way because a carnal Christian looks just like they do. But the world looks at a sold-out Christian that says, you people, why do you read your Bible all the time? Why do you go passing out tracts and talking to other people about Jesus? Why do you come into church and you sing from your heart to the Lord like somebody's there listening? You're crazy. Why do you pray to somebody that's not around? They look at us as people of faith and as people of the Bible and people of the Lord, and they say, you're crazy. You know what I think's crazy? I think trying to have them to live a life where you're inebriated all the time to get through is crazy. I think what's crazy is you have to lay down on a couch and just get through life and talk to somebody about it because you can't live with yourself or anybody else. How about that? I think it's crazy that you can't ever have a stable relationship with anybody in your life. How about that? There's a lot of craziness in this world, but it's not found at the feet of Jesus Christ. But, oh, they defamed him. He's mad. They went a step further. They not only said, don't listen to him, and he's mad, but they said, he has a devil. He's got a devil. You know, I would say this, church. If that was their opinion of Jesus Christ, if you're like Jesus Christ, that's probably people's opinion of you. But if you're not like Jesus Christ, then you'll probably just fit into society rather well. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what a great compliment would be for you? If somebody says, I think you're full of the devil. I think you're crazy. Because your life has been so changed by the gospel and so changed by the word of God. Listen, do we want to fit in to this real society of insanity and devil-driven lust? Or do we want to be like Jesus and say, Lord, I'll take my position with you. I'll make myself of no reputation. Whatever they want to say about me. Look, this world has a love affair with baby Jesus, but they don't have a love affair with the Jesus of the Bible. You know, the baby Jesus is not very threatening. Who's threatened by a baby? But this one in the Gospels that's standing up and preaching, now that's a different story. The one that's coming again that you're going to have to give an account to, that's a different story. The one that's holy and harmless and separate from sinners, that's a different idea. The shepherd that is defamed. And the world always defames that which is holy. And the world always perverts that which is sacred. Our society has taken real love and real matrimony and perverted it and twisted it and defamed it. Just like they took the name of the lovely Lord Jesus and they twisted it and they perverted it and they accused him and they defamed him. But he's still the great shepherd. He's still the good shepherd. He's still the chief shepherd in spite of what the world may say. I see this shepherd something else about him when you look. And of course, some of them in verse 21 had a problem with that. He says, hey, are these the words of somebody that has a devil? Is this really how the devil talks? Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Would a devil really do this, what he's done for all these people's lives? Verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. Watch your Bible. And it was winter. If I had to guess, I would say this is sort of uncanny. This setting is probably about the time that we're in right now. Now, this feast of dedication is a different feast. I'm not going to get into history and tradition of the Jews and all that, but probably this is about December. Now, this is the time between the Feast of the Tabernacles and the Feast of Passover. Jesus Christ is going to give his life and die in just about 3 months. And here it's wintertime. It's December. It's right now. Put yourself in the situation. It's wintertime. And he's walking in the temple, look at verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. He's accessible to people. Verse 24. Then came the Jews, watch it, round about him. They corner him in, you see. They encircle him. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you. And you believe not. And then he says how they should have known. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. This is the same thing John the Baptist, when he was in prison and he was about to lose his head, he got a little bit discouraged and he told his disciples to go to Jesus and say, hey, ask him one more time, is he the Christ? And Jesus, you know what he told him? He said, go back and just tell what you see. Tell them how the dead are raised and the blind eyes are opened and the deaf hear. Tell them all this thing. And just because the works, he didn't just say, go back and say yes. No, he said, tell them what you see. You know, the greatest testimony in the world is not one that comes out of your mouth, but one that comes out of your life. And the greatest testimony Jesus ever had was what he did. He changed people's lives. Now, he told the woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, he flat out told her that he was the Christ. He told the blind man that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. But he always does that individually. God doesn't deal with people collectively. He deals with you privately in your heart about who he is. To change your heart, to change your life. But I tell you what, you don't have to be very smart to look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ if you believe the record of the Bible and say, hey, he's the one. Whoever else opened the eyes of a blind man that was born that way. Who else changed? You say, well, preacher, he's not doing that today. Well, he's still changing people's lives today. He changed my life. We started this morning, people during Sunday school started testifying, popping all around about what Jesus Christ has done for them, meant to them in their own personal life. He's the Christ. That Christ, that Messiah, Christ means anointed one. In the Old Testament, they anointed the prophet. In the Old Testament, they anointed the priest and they anointed the king. And Jesus is God's Christ. He's God's anointed. And he wraps all that up in one picture. He is the anointed prophet of God. He's got God's message for you. He is the anointed priest of God. The only way you can get to God is through the man Christ Jesus. He's the great high priest. And he's the anointed king. And he's not here, but he's coming. Amen. And everything is going to be under his feet one day. He's God's Christ. And the world says, well, I don't know how. I don't know how you couldn't see it. You know, our society, our atheistic-driven society now that we're heading rapidly into secular society without God, you know what they can't get around? They date their calendar with this shepherd. And they don't like that, and so they've changed it to the modern era. You can change it to whatever era. You can put any title you want it, and it's still wrapped around when Jesus came to this world. And you can't get away from it. It's not dated, amen, from the Caesar of modern time. It's not dated from Alexander the Great. It's not dated from some other event, human history. All of human history is dated at the feet of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get him out of your life. You can't get him off your hand. You'll never be able to get him out of your mind. He's the shepherd. He's the Christ. He's God's choice. Boy, if he's not your choice, I wish you'd make him your choice. But now that's the one shepherd. Now, I didn't leave myself much time. But look at the one fold. He said in verse 16, end of the verse, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And by the way, before I move on, the reason they didn't know he was the Christ, look at what he said right here in this verse. He said in verse 25, Jesus answered him, I told you and ye believe not. See verse 26, but ye believe not. You know, there's some things you'll never understand about God until you're willing to believe him. Faith is seeing. Seeing's not believing. No. Hebrews tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a whole lot of things you'll learn about God by having faith. You know why they didn't know these things about Christ? They didn't believe him. You know, when you come to the Bible, there's a lot of things you'll never see in the Bible if you don't believe the Bible. God doesn't show things out of the Bible to people that won't believe it. Look at the one fold. He says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, we were introduced to that fold in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. The one fold is where all the sheep are and where all the sheep are headed. You know, there's one shepherd. There's one way of salvation. There's only one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one heaven. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one family of God. One fold. There's not many, many different folds. There's one fold where the sheep are. Now, though there's one fold, there are different sheep. Look at it, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He said, "Now they got some other sheep that aren't like you people, you sheep. But I'm gonna, but I only have one fold. I'm gonna bring them. I'm gonna put them in this one fold." Look at chapter 11. This is a great thing. The high priest said, he didn't even know he said, in chapter 11, verse 51. The Bible said in John 11, 51, "And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation." Oh, I love verse 52. "And not for that nation only." Thank God. Jesus did not just lay down his life for the Jews. He didn't just lay down his life for the nation of Israel. The Bible says, but that also, look at it, he should gather together in, what's that word? In one, the children of God that were scattered abroad. Jesus laid down his life to gather all the sheep into one fold. But there are a lot of different kinds of sheep. And we didn't really have a right to be in that fold. And we really didn't fit into that fold, but Jesus said, I'm going to gather all the children of God, and I'm going to bring them into one fold because I'm one shepherd. Amen. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile or black or white, or if you're born in Asia, or if you're born in North America, or born halfway around the world in Africa. Jesus said, if you'll come to me, if you'll hear my voice, if you will know me and believe me, I'll bring you into my fold. No matter who you are. Different kind of sheep. But there's only one fold. We've got different backgrounds in our lives. But I'm glad that no matter who you are, the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. You can get into that fold. There's only one family of God. There's only one heaven. He said in Ephesians 3, he made those two one. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us. Whether you're male or female, wherever you are, whoever you are, how you live, he broke that down. He says, I got one fold. And if you'll let me be your shepherd, I'll take you to that fold. But why do people not get into that fold? Again, he said in verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The one fold is only for those that will hear Jesus. The one fold are only for those that will believe on Jesus Christ. The one fold is only for believers. You can't get into that fold without believing. And I'm not talking about believing in yourself or believing in your religion or believing what you can do or some religious act. I'm talking about believing Him, believing the shepherd. My faith looks up to Thee, O Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. I'm trusting You. And you know, He says, they follow Me. Now, sheep can go astray. And sheep can get lost. But for every child of God, every person that belongs to Jesus Christ that's going to His fold, one day had to turn and come to the shepherd, and they had to follow Him. They had to leave their sin. That's called repentance. They had to come to the conclusion one day, I don't want to go this way. I don't want to go the way of my sin. I don't want to go the way of the devil. I don't want to go the way of hell. I want to go His way. I want to come to the shepherd, so I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to come to Him. I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to listen to His voice. I wonder this morning, whose voice are you listening to? You know, you can be in church this morning and not be listening to the voice of the shepherd. You can be in church this morning and not be a part of the fold because you've never really come to follow Him. You've never come to really trust Him. You've never turned from your sin and put your faith in Him instead of your faith in you. Will you listen to the shepherd? My sheep hear my voice. If you want to get in that fold, you got to hear His voice. The first thing He'll tell you, trust me, come to me, believe me. Are you listening to His voice? Oh, how many people have gone to church? Gone to a church somewhere and they're not listening to God. They're not opening their eyes like that, or they're not opening their mouth like that baby bird to its mother saying, give me, I want. They're not listening. Boy, I tell you what, as belonging to Christ, I want to hear His voice. I want to follow Him. Because I'm never comfortable unless I'm in His fold. And I'm never comfortable unless I'm near Him as my shepherd. This morning, are you listening to the shepherd? Are you following the shepherd? Are you believing in the shepherd? The last thing I give you is look at verse 28. I love this. This one fold is for different sheep. This one fold is for those that will hear, follow, and believe. And then this one fold is forever. It's forever. It's not a temporary fold. He said in verse 28, and I give unto them, look at it, eternal life. Look at your Bible. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, you know, he says about his fold, oh, I got different sheep, but they're just one fold. And he says, that one fold is made up of these people who will hear me, believe me, and follow me. And then he says, this one fold is not temporary. It lasts forever. Once you get in my fold, you're always there. You always belong to me. They shall never perish. I tell you what, brethren, never means never. And it doesn't matter what denomination or religion or what persuasion people are. When Jesus said, if you'll come to Him, you will never perish. Never doesn't mean never until you do X. Never doesn't mean never if you lose your mind. Never means never. Getting into the fold is a permanent thing, is what I'm saying. And I'm glad it's that way. You know why? I could never save myself. And I could never keep myself saved. But the one that saved me is the one that keeps me. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Eternal life. What? That's a gift. I give unto them. This is the season of gifts. Everybody talks about gifts. But was there a gift like the Savior given? Not one. Eternal life is a gift of God. He says, I give unto them. How's a sheep going to merit? How's a sheep going to be accepted? I've been around sheep long enough. I made myself one day up in Virginia. I said, if I'm going to believe this stuff, I'm going to get around some sheep. Man, I got around sheep. I tell you what, they're the stupidest animals I've ever been around in my life. That's just true. And they can't clean themselves. They can't clean themselves. They can't protect themselves. They can't fight off anything. They're the most gentle, right? In the pasture, totally dependent upon the one shepherd. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't protect myself. I can't keep myself safe. But the shepherd says, I'll give unto you eternal life. It's a gift. Now, gifts don't cost the receiver anything, but cost the giver everything. This time of year, sometimes I think these young people have been done disservice by because they think some fat man brought them all their gifts. No, somebody paid for that stuff, like for a year. On the credit card. Oh, all the gifts. Oh, this is great. Yeah, but somebody paid for it. You know, it's great that eternal life is a free gift of God. But it cost Jesus Christ everything. It cost Him His blood. It cost Him His life. And He says, I'll give to you eternal life and you'll never perish. And then He says this, you're in my hand. Nobody's going to get you out of my hand. Oh, what a safe place. I'm so glad that I placed my soul and my eternity and my life in the hand of Jesus. Jesus said, nobody can pluck Him out of my hand. He said, also, you're in the Father's hand. If you can get that picture. And no man able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. So number one, it'd been enough if you were in Jesus' hand. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, matter of fact, it'd been enough if you weren't even in His hand. He said, I give unto you eternal life and you'll never perish. That's sort of the end of it. But He says, still, if that's not enough for you, you're in my hand. And that, by the way, that song, he's got the whole world in his hand. No, he's got his sheep in his hand. This whole world's going to get crushed like a little bubblegum piece one day. He got the sheep in His hand and the Father's hands over top of that. And the triune God with the blessed Holy Ghost seals both of those hands up. I tell you what, if you come to Jesus Christ, you couldn't get out of God if you tried. How are you going to pry the hand of God off of something? The hand that's put the universe in place and meted out the stars with a span and called them on by name. And the hand that scooped, amen, something, the dust of life and made a man, made a living soul. It's a gift. It's not earned. It's not based on my works to get or to keep. And it's forever. It never stops. I just want to say I'm in the fold. I'm glad I know I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd and I shall not want. And my full faith and heart and trust is in Him. He brought me to the fold and He'll keep me in the fold. My confidence is in God, but I ask you, do you know that you have eternal life? If we were to ask you this morning, do you know that you have eternal life? Well, I don't know. Well, the shepherd says, if he's given it to you, you're supposed to know. Have you come to him? Have you trusted him? Is he your shepherd? Do you love him? Nobody cares for you like he does.